Hey, welcome to Steak Tips, the podcast that features, I don't know, stuff that you care about going on in Atlanta. Everything from food, pop culture, and of course, the crazy wide world of sports in Atlanta, where we have a little bit of history, myself and the lovely Sandra Golden, where we've it's not our first rodeo. Right?
I'll say 24 years together, I think, something
indeed.
Like that.
Yeah. And then,
do you remember where we met?
Is this like a trick question?
I'm going to bring some guests in. Do you remember? I was at Sambuca. It was a few weeks before the Super Bowl because I was between jobs, and they brought me on to like run the events at
Sambuca.
Do y'all remember Sambuca?
So Sambuca was the place on Piedmont Road.
Jazz club. It was the hot spot. It was amazing. And I would venture to say we had the sexiest big Super Bowl party in 2000. It was the Ice Night. Do you guys remember Ice Night? Literally Atlanta shut down during the Super Bowl.
You're talking about Saturday night
that
before
Saturday
Super
night
Bowl?
Before the,
when
that
you
was our
get
party.
Anywhere?
Yep, that's exactly.
So
that was our
be
party.
In Buckhead.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So anyway, we met there one day and I go, I listened to your show and you said you should come on. And I go, okay, I'll be there tomorrow. And then the rest is
romantic radio history,
it's
right?
It's true.
And Garrett Chapman is here also. He is our intrepid executive producer of Steak Tips.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And also helps out on the morning show as well, along with Day Day. So we have been, doing this a long time. Did you start doing updates or something initially?
Yep, updates. And you would have me come in for a segment, do like almost a belly up.
It was
sponsored
that's what
by
it was.
Solomon Brothers. You know, that's the way
that was. It was a belly up before we
yep,
named
that's
it.
That's right.
That.
Mm-hmm.
It was a chance for me to not have to talk about sports, too much sports.
Right. Right.
It's the thing about these sports stations. There's so much sports on them. It's just, right? I mean, God. It's like, how much sports can you talk about, right?
We try to do it very little.
Yes. So we had Sandra come in and do that. So we kid here on Steak Tips, but one of the things we like to do on this podcast is maybe go a little bit deeper into stories that are playing themselves out or get a little more candid, if you will, and also talk about the history of the format. And Matt Ryan, I would not, with announcing his retirement in an incredibly classy way this Monday in Atlanta. It happened down at Falcon headquarters where he had a number of close friends, his beautiful family with him. And he wrapped up, put a bow on 15 years as an Atlanta Falcon and arguably the greatest Falcon player in their history.
Yeah. And did it beautifully on his terms.
What a well-produced letter to Atlanta. How classy, well-orchestrated, just wonderful way to...
He was emotional.
Yeah.
Were you a little surprised or no?
Well, I was only surprised that he probably had rehearsed it so many times.
Oh, right.
I mean, and that, you know... But
so behind the scenes, if you go to AtlantaFalcons.com, if you hadn't seen it, I was showing Steak this morning. Tori McElhaney did a 25-minute, really, really well-produced, just kind of sit-down. But also Wes and Dave did a thing, and they took him from when he walked in the building behind the scenes with a video of the whole day. So it was a lot. It was well-produced. Yeah, it's really cool. Go to AtlantaFalcons.com. AtlantaFalcons.com. They did a whole interview sitting just like this.
Yep.
I think it might be a podcast, although it is on the video.
It's all on AtlantaFalcons.com.
It is. It's really well done.
They have a very good digital team, let me tell you what. Yeah. I'm not saying that because they're our partner or anything else. It's because they do an exceptionally good job.
We should get him on because he was actually tweeting with me on the show today, Steak. He is gifted.
Matt
His
Ryan?
Name is Howie.
Oh, you're
He is
about
the digital manager for Atlanta Falcons. Yep. He's amazing.
He's great.
All right.
He's great.
Well, let's have him in to talk
about
it. Because the NFL is big business, and digital assets and social media, there are a slew of people that are working on this stuff. Every NFL teams understand the popularity of the league suggests you need absolutely the highest level of content, and they don't mess around with Falcons. They built that studio. Our friend Steve Cannon, who helps run the organization, they build a state-of-the-art broadcast facility there.
Yep, and they're doing the same thing with Atlanta United as well.
Yes.
With the new facility they're building down, or with that they're expanding up there. It's very well done. Everything that AMB does, it seems like they just masterclass.
Yes, that's a great way to put
it. Are you okay with the shift in the world of news coverage? Because back when we were growing up, I will speak for myself, in the 30s, it feels like, you had to tune into your local news, and there would be 6 or 7 minutes of local news. Mm-hmm. So it would be Chuck Dowdle, and I want to see what the Falcons say. Now...
Six or seven minutes of local sports news.
Local sports news within that 30-minute broadcast. So now, I'm going to tell you in 5 years, There will be no press conferences. There will be nothing. They're going to handle it all in-house, and they're going to put out all their own content. So if Matt, you want an interview with Matt Ryan, here's your interview with Matt Ryan. Here it is. So I just think it's taken such a massive shift in the last 5 years. I can only tell you in 5 years it's going to be very little local.
So. I don't believe it'll ever get to that point, but already teams want to control the message.
Right.
Athletes want to control the message. Athletes will only do interviews on their own channels because they can control their own channels. And same with teams. However, I still believe, folks, there will be a place for somewhat unfiltered, not processed by what the team wants out there. Mm-hmm. I don't think that'll ever go away completely.
Right.
But already, of course, it's less and less.
Yeah.
I mean, Falcons, they're going to edit out what they don't want you, what they didn't like, because it's on their channels.
But just take yesterday. Matt Ryan wasn't on local news yesterday. This video, these videos that they produced.
Well, they had way more access. I agree. Yeah. We didn't get any.
It's exactly right.
Type of access. But there's still going to be, for those people that are not affiliated with teams that have massive audience. Listen, nobody's ever going to say no to going on Joe Rogan, right? And Joe Rogan's not controlled by anybody. Nobody's going to say no to go on Call Her Daddy or any of these other podcasts where the audience is massive, right?
But even Atlanta Eats, there's no restaurant that doesn't want to be on Atlanta Eats because they know what you're doing and how many eyes you get on that thing.
Right, which is why that they're still going to need the media.
Right, that's exactly right. Media, bless you.
So they're still
His name, by the way, is Austin Hiddle, the director of Falcons Media, and senior director of video. Sorry, so I got his name wrong because I suck. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know who that other guy was.
I can edit because I control
Howie.
I control
good. Take all the parts where I say stupid things. You'll have a 2-minute podcast.
Yeah, so we should talk about Matt Ryan because that was supposed to be the topic here.
Sorry.
The climate in the city of Atlanta when Matt Ryan rolled into town was, let's just say, about as on edge and deflating as a franchise could have. Because what could be more deflating for a franchise than their most popular player ever, than the most exciting player on a national stage that the Atlanta Falcons had ever had? And Steve Barkowski and William Andrews and Lynn Cain and Billy White Shoes and, they were great players. They were never the national media kingpin that Michael Vick was. So you take legions of Falcon fans from 70-year-olds to 10-year-olds as their favorite athlete ever in the most African-American city in America with the most exciting athlete, and that, don't think that didn't play into it as well, although white people like myself worshiped Michael Vick also. We all did.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it just so happened it clicked in Atlanta more than anywhere. So when that only goes away, and the way it goes away and such that he's in federal prison for a dogfighting scandal, you're deflated on a million levels. I can't believe this was my guy. I can't believe he's not our quarterback. I can't believe he's in prison. I may be angry with him for any of those things. Like, the city was just in a terrible way. And Falcon fans were just angry. They wanted to take their anger out on somebody. They were taking it out on Arthur Blank, and then they took it out on Thomas Dimitroff for drafting Matt Ryan, who's got 16 picks, and he's this lily-white quarterback that's not any good at a crappy football school, even though BC was top 10 under Matt Ryan.
They got him up to number 2 in the country. So.
Yeah. So all that's going on.
Last time he was ranked.
I understand. People were just angry. They didn't know where to direct it, so they directed it towards Matt and Thomas and Arthur. And then next thing you know, he throws his first pass of his career to Michael Jenkins for a touchdown against the Lions, and we end up in the playoffs against Kurt Warner all within our rookie year.
Yeah.
So that, that started to heal. That's what it was. Matt Ryan came in and healed the Falcon fans and got us back to talking about football. And Michael Vick was out of sight, out of mind until, of course, he got out. And then it brought up a lot of those same feelings. But, Matt Ryan said he didn't know the climate he was walking into. And he didn't even know his rookie year.
Yeah, he talked about in this interview on AtlantaFalcons.com, Steak and I were listening to it in the show, where he said Reggie Roberts and Ted Cruz, who were director of media, so they would set up, he said they protected me almost, or shit. What word did he use that he was saying? I didn't know what was going on.
I didn't know shit about it or whatever. Yeah. Listen, he is living in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. They have absolutely no interest in covering the Atlanta Falcons. He's from Philadelphia, so he was an Eagles fan probably growing up. He has no idea what the you know, the whole Mike Vick phenomenon for the city was. The litany of bad football that had been played in Atlanta, the lack of superstar other than Deion Sanders, who left town after 4 years, or Brett Favre, who couldn't get in the lineup because he was partying too much in Buckhead. So there was nothing here.
Right.
And then Mike Vick's gone, and here's Matt Ryan that people were saying, let's take Lynn Dorsey from LSU. Half the listeners I was on the next day, and 50% of them said bad pick. And he healed the city, you know, and got us. I love the call today that said, for all the talk of Dan Quinn and the Super Bowl run and the season after the Super Bowl where you won another playoff game that year, Mike Smith is the guy that's brought winning football to Atlanta. They never had winning season. Now, we lost 3 playoff games. We had that horrendous game in the Giants where I think we scored 2 points.
22-2.
Right. Then we had the Arizona game. And that was our 3rd playoff loss. I should have it in front of us, but
It was the Green Bay Packers
on the road.
It was at home. We got obliterated at home. It was the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers came into town.
Yeah, that's when Matt threw the pick right before the end of the half.
And everyone blamed Matt Ryan for the fact that we gave up 42 points in 3 quarters.
So remember, Matt Ryan was 0-3 in the playoffs. However, until the Tony Gonzalez win over Seattle.
2012. Was
Roddy White going over Richard Sherman in the end zone. That was awesome. Incredible.
Matt Bryant with the field goal. Yeah. And remember, they called it off. He had missed the first one and made the second one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was going to be Tony Gonzalez's first playoff win, and then it wasn't. We blew the lead, and Matt Ryan has the greatest drive in Falcons history, other than Chris Chandler's, I guess, in terms of just getting that group their first playoff win. Yeah. Otherwise, they're 0-4. And then we should have gone to the Super Bowl. If you remember, Harry Douglas loses a ball in the lights down the right sideline. It would have been a touchdown.
He tripped. He caught the ball, trips
on the turf.
And you get the turf monster, and then Roddy Wells held.
And then Matt Ryan fumbles the shotgun snap that...
It was the pass interference. It was the pass interference that they didn't throw the flag for, and then we don't get 6.
But anyways, his point being, Mike Smith brought winning football to Atlanta. Yeah. Damn near ended up in the Super Bowl, and finally was like, "Oh, this is what it's like for 5 or 6 years to be like in the mix." What do we always talk about? Let's just be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, it's like what I said about the NBA playoffs for the next 2 months. Every other night in places like Minnesota and Denver and Phoenix and Philadelphia and New York and Milwaukee, at least they're in the mix.
They're there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's like games to look forward to. There's, you know, sports talk radio talking about the playoffs. There's like storyline. We just want to be in the mix. It's 6 years the Falcons have not been in the playoffs and really haven't even been in the mix. Even when we thought we were in the mix the last 2 years, like, oh, we're good enough to win the division. Marcus Mariota, we convinced ourselves. And then Desmond, like, we're not in the mix. And we're still not in the mix, even though we have Kirk Cousins and even though we're going to draft the 8. Like, Matt Ryan and Mike Smith, we were in the mix.
So I distinctly remember where I was when he was drafted. I remember where I was when he became Matty Ice. I remember where I was through all the highs and lows of that career. And we talked about it on the show today. It was the roller coaster of his career. But at the same time, like one of the callers said it, nailed it. We had never had back-to-back winning seasons before Matt Ryan was the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. It never happened. 7 didn't do it. Barkowski didn't do it. Chris Chandler didn't do it.
Right.
We go to a Super Bowl, we get blown out. We come back the next year. We get just eviscerated throughout the regular season.
Jamal went down week 2.
But that's because you had a team that was not set up by a great quarterback, great team,
right,
or whatever. But that's not the point. The point is Matt Ryan brought a level of stability to this city, to this franchise, because he was Mr. Consistent. And I'll always remember that. I remember when he became Matty Ice in that game with Michael Jenkins down that left sideline against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, we were backed up to our goal line.
There was
18 seconds left or something crazy.
I was 13 years old when he was drafted. And
so you saw his entire career.
I saw his entire career here in Atlanta,
right,
as a teenager up into my 20s. I was diehard.
So fun.
And I was the kid who was sitting at my grandparents' house on Thanksgiving watching football while the rest of the family was in the other room.
I explained to folks, and when I talked to team owners or GMs, I was like, the fan that you are from ages, I'd argue, 8 to 15, That's why all these transplants down here still root for their teams, you know, because the formative years of 8 to 15, it's in your blood. Doesn't mean you don't change over and become a Braves fan, but a lot of times it's hard because that's where you're, like, living and dying.
And half of that of that range you're talking about was Michael Vick. The other half was Matt
Ryan.
So
you're a huge Falcon fan because of it.
I adored Michael Vick. I adored him, and I cheered for him, and I loved him despite all of the off-field antics, like when he was down in Miami and had the weed and the water bottle. And I'm like, I still cheered for him. I was like, I still loved the guy.
Of course. I mean, when
because he was the most exciting thing that I'd ever seen.
Right.
It was Mike Vick. It was Chipper
Jones.
I've
been here 28 years. Nothing compares to going to the Dome to watch Michael Vick. That was electricity.
It was incredible.
I mean, and again, back to what I said, they were in the mix. If Michael Vick was your quarterback, you were relevant. Then he's gone.
The lead on SportsCenter. You were on the cover of the EA Sports. You were the Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night.
If we were the road team, people would be like, I'm not missing the Falcons game.
The Michael Vick jerseys.
Mike Vick's coming to town.
Never seen anything like it.
Did you guys ever play Madden?
No, but I know he's the greatest player ever, right?
One of my favorite things when I was a kid was putting in that video game, and I would do like these random fantasy drafts or whatever, and you could pick your teams. And Michael Vick was always my first pick.
Yeah.
Brian
Finneran was
a
good NFL receiver. It wasn't a great one. He's our buddy. He had the highest rating for Madden because he was Mike Vick's number one target, and that immediately vaulted him at the top of Madden because, like, Mike Vick had to be up there with somebody, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
Back then it was Finneran. So you always talk about Finneran's Madden rating. Right?
It works, man. There's a good reason for it. You know, that's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah. So, anyway, point being, it was a seminal week in Atlanta, and you don't appreciate what you have till it's gone. Or, depending on a lot of people's divorces, you appreciate it more once it's gone. But
that's beautiful.
In the case of Matt Ryan, an appropriate week to honor him, and kudos to him. We'll have him on the podcast or the show very soon.
Yes. Love, Matt.
So thanks for listening to Steak Tips. Follow us, like us, grade us. What did Drew Butler tell us? All those things to do.
You got to share. You got to promote it. We got to promote on the show. So we'll do that. And hopefully everyone who's listening here does the same thing. So share it on Facebook, Twitter, whatever social media you got. We love it. We appreciate it.
Give us a good rating. Bye.
Tag us.